I honestly think Pep needs to change a little bit of tact. You haven't got Rodri, you have to stop playing through the middle as much, because teams are pressing you to death and they're giving up way too many chances.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. A bite-sized serving of Ireland's breakfast sports show.
But there's only one place to start, and that is, of course, at the Principality Stadium on Saturday. Wales 18, Ireland 27. That's more like it, Wales. That's more like it. You know? Back. How three humble people in one country inspired an entire country, a different country, into improving. What an inspirational story that is.
Are we on commission?
And what a tense affair it was. At halftime, there was a remarkable statistic when Wales led 13-10, that it was the first time they were ahead at halftime in the Six Nations in Cardiff since 2021. And I thought, okay, well, maybe, look, Ireland will be have a wake-up call with that. The answer, of course, is 14. Ireland can beat Wales with 14 men for 20 minutes. And that was the case at the start of the second half when Tom Rogers went over for his try. And then we're all getting a bit worried in the WhatsApp group, I think. Everyone was getting a little bit worried. This is getting interesting now. And look, there was that amazing moment in the 54th minute and Sam Prendergast's spiral kick gets the 50-22. And from that, Jamie Osborne gets the try. But it was still real, real hairy. And then when Ellis Mee, the Saracens winger, who was fantastic on the day, when he puts the ball down and it goes to TMO, but whether this try is going to be allowed or not, I was thinking, like how bad is the witness protection programme? It's probably fine. My daughter's 10 months old. I got to know her a fair bit. Like, she got the gist of it.
She got the gist.
So I was thinking that, but thankfully that wasn't given, that try. And Ireland did eventually get away with the win and the Triple Crown, of course, which is probably largely kind of forgotten in this whole thing. But it was a remarkable game, lads, all jokes aside, in that for the first 7 minutes it was tight enough. Wales didn't really make any errors, and then there was the ruck error that they did make, and from that Jack Conan scores a try and it's converted, and then we get a penalty, so it's 10-0. It's looking fairly good. Gareth Anscombe, who his first start in ages and ages for Wales, played really well. He gets a handy penalty, 10-3, looking very good. And then Guy Ringrose, like, we were funny talking about, like, what did Guy Ringrose did wrong to be dropped against Scotland, and he's back in here, and he just has a fairly dreadful pass to Jamie Osborne out wide. You can't collect it, and if Osborne does catch that ball and goes over,
oh, it's the other way around.
What?
It's the Osborne pass to Ringrose.
Osborne
with the bad pass.
Yeah, yes. Apologies, Ringrose. If he goes over, that's 15-3 and possibly 17-3. It would have been a tight enough conversion. So then it would have been fairly comfortable on paper, but look, that's not how it transpired at all. Guy Ringrose does get the initial sin bin, which is upgraded to a 20-minute red card. That's pretty much him done now, and possibly for the Six Nations. But Wales were fantastic for the middle portion of that game, and it went right through the wire. But Ireland just about had enough. So the question is, look, did Ireland underperform? Did Wales overperform? Has this been a long time coming for Wales? And was this a performance to admire from Ireland? Was it a performance of champions? A lot of questions this morning.
So what colour are they?
I have them in green because they got the job done and they won the Triple Crown. So they're on course to win the Grand Slam. Nothing has changed there.
We actually have a picture of Bundy as the exemplar of Ireland. Bundy's in the green, right?
But he was,
no ifs, ands or buts. It was an amazing weekend for Bundy because he's going to play every minute against France. He's going to play every minute against Italy now.
He was stupendous when he came on. There were certain players that really stood up, and I can't help but not think about Sam Prendergast and his performance, because it's kind of
where would you put Sam Prendergast this morning if you were?
I'd also put him in green because he was the deciding factor in the game in the most positive sense of it. Like, so there was that 50-22 I mentioned, and from that Gibson Park has the crossfield kick with his boot. James Lowe keeps it in and Osborne scores the try, and it's magnificent. And it was generally his kicking. So like, he hits the post in the first half with a long range penalty. And it's when you really needed a steady hand, when the whole country was shitting themselves, Prendergast wasn't. He was fairly nerveless. The other side of it is he missed a load of tackles. Ireland in general missed 33 tackles overall, and Prendergast missed quite a few. And then he had that kick as well in a crucial juncture in the tail end of the second half where he puts out in the full, and that puts us under a bit of pressure. So I understand there was criticism in certain elements of his game, but I'm also not surprised at all that for the second game in a row, he plays the entire match. And for the second game in a row, Jack Crowley comes on, but in a different position, comes on at fullback. Because I thought, I'll put it this way, from an Irish fan's perspective, I wanted Prendergast there because he backed himself to do it. And that's why I shade him into the green. Like, he's a young fella, he's going to make mistakes. I think he did more right than wrong, and that's why I'd have him in the green.
Yeah, there was a few things. Like rushing the penalty when he could have taken a minute off the clock of the sin bin time. There's a few other bits and pieces. But at the same time, Gibson Park also did a tap and go when really if they just booted
that was
touch,
huge. Yeah.
Walked up slowly to it and gone, oh, I was going to tie my shoelaces. A lot of those things that kind of seemed to just get away from them at that period in the second half. But like certainly the benefit and the learning curve from Prendergast's perspective, you think it's relatively steep. And it was a clear ring endorsement that they didn't bring him off. Because there was a good case for actually...
There was a good case, I think, around the 50th minute at when Wales were on the ascension and it really looked like this game was going to get away from Ireland. I could see why he was going to be subbed then. And that thought entered my head and then minutes later, that kick that we've already mentioned now three times, and that kind of changed it for me.
Simon, what did you make of that?
Well, pleased with the result. There'll be lots of things in the game that we'll feel like we could have done better, but we go down in the game, we go down a man, and then we go down on the scoreboard. Came in at half time and felt like if we played in the right way and sort of did things better our way, then we felt like we could dominate them. I think we had a lot of possession for 30 minutes, a lot of territory for 30 minutes, just didn't quite get our accuracy right in terms of scoring the points that we needed. And we know that Wales will come back into it if we gave them an opportunity, and they did that. And I was pleased with the way that we responded to being in a bit of a hole, and we dug ourselves out and took the game away from them in that last 20.
Yeah, more of that stuff available all over our social channels. Alec Quinlan, good morning to you.
Morning.
How are you?
How are you, Joe?
Pretty good, yeah. At halftime, Tommy Bowe in the BBC coverage says he hopes that Ringrose gets a lengthy ban to stamp out that type of tackle. What do you make of that?
I didn't hear it. He has to be a little bit more careful. Gary Ringrose is a wonderful player. Look, it's not, there's, he doesn't have a disciplinary problem as regards a history of getting red cards or yellow cards. When you go high and you come out of the line, like he does a fair bit and probably does a little bit more now under Jack Nienenberg with Leinster, it can be very effective. It can stop the opposition attack, but there's always a risk. And, you know, I'm a big advocate of it over the years in all the conversations around high tackles and impact. And I always talk consistently about that final impact. And we see some of these tackles in the URC in top 14, other competitions. If you're absorbing it and you're high, it stays a yellow. And to be fair, it's that final impact. For me, I was, obviously it's reactive analysis when you're on commentary. You have to think very quickly and you know, you have to go with your gut feeling. And
it's instinct, yeah.
My gut feeling was that one could get upgraded. It could have stayed at a yellow, and it's one of those ones, if it stayed at a yellow, is there a big debate saying that was a terrible decision, it should have been a red? I was also an advocate for not going with the 20-minute red card.
It's kind of bullshit, isn't it? Like we benefited from
it. We got
this,
real lucky, yeah.
But like,
when it came out, Ger, and they brought it here into the Northern Hemisphere, I thought, I like the fact that the referee can still give a red.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that, you know, deliberate acts of foul play should be a straight red. And we've seen so many over the years where there's been, you know, accidental ones, and you know there's no intent there, and they feel harsh, and they are harsh, and they kind of ruin a game and change a game. But yeah, there's still part of me thinks, well, if that was a permanent red, I think Ireland lose the game. No, look, maybe they find a way with the 14, but they conceded 15 points when Gary Ringrose was off for 20 minutes. It really unsettled them.
Should he get a lengthy ban?
No, he shouldn't get a lengthy ban. He's going to get a couple of weeks. What does he mean, a lengthy ban? Does he mean 10,
more than
weeks?
The standard?
He'll get a couple of weeks. He's going to miss the French game. Intermax won in against Wales in Paris. Did he get 3 weeks reduced to two?
Yeah, for
tackle like
school.
That. Yeah.
And Leinster's URC game next weekend will count as one of those. So if he gets a 2-week ban, he'll miss the France game and be available for Italy. It kind of
I don't think Tommy meant a lengthy ban, like 12 weeks. Okay, well, maybe I'm assuming he doesn't mean that long. I mean, he's going to get a couple of weeks. That's just the reality of it. You have a duty of care as the tackler, and when you come out of the line to put in a big impact, you're always running the risk. And he does that a little bit, Gary Ringrose.